Friends of Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Back in the days of the radio, the police drama came into our homes, and we were able to experience, well, not we, some of us, some of you, were able to experience what it meant to hear those sounds and to experience the drama that once upon a time, perhaps, you had read in comic books. As TV began to evolve, we got the likes of the police drama on those programs as well. Things like Hill Street Blues and Chips with Officer Ponch and that other guy. As TV began to evolve, these police dramas inevitably turned into the reality shows of Cops and other shows where police officers were out in the community doing their work, and we were along for the ride. We were there to see what was going on, for better or worse. But do any of these programs, do any of these depictions of life on our streets contain reality? Are they faithful to the work that is done and the struggle of our officials? Are they accurate in any way? I guess I fear that mostly these programs tend to be sensational, that they tend to have a racial bias even as they are presented. And I'm afraid that what becomes of these kinds of programs in our world is that we see the trafficking of the brutal side of police work. These days, there's a couple of programs that if nothing else is on TV, I might go ahead and watch for a little while. North Star Law, or Lone Star Law, and North Woods Law. They're actually about game wardens who protect the environment, the animals, uphold laws of hunting and of faithful use of our land and our space. And they write tickets sometimes, and they make arrests. Often, justice is done among the people whom these folks encounter. But I've noticed that as we've evolved into today's world, that the depictions that come across on these shows show a very compassionate side of these who uphold the law, and that they reserve contempt for the most unrepentant. Still, this is the benefit of TV shows that can be edited and presented in exactly the way we want these things to happen. Certainly, we know that police officers in our communities and in our world, by and large, exist and work faithfully for the people of their community, and that their most desired way of interacting is with compassion and concern, even with people with whom they disagree. But we indeed have seen the result of law enforcement that's lost the necessary connection with compassion. We've seen these things happen, seen them perhaps because we are able to experience the videos that are at our fingertips and the unending news source that comes into our homes every day. Further, society has put its stamp of approval on strict law enforcement, of militarized police tactics, sentencing laws that are disproportionately applied to different racial groups and different people in different communities, little funding that's provided even in institutions of correction for education and rehabilitation efforts. Unfortunately, incentive within corporate prisons exists to keep prisons full, to keep folks from making their way out, but rather to earn the income that comes when the beds are all full. It seems that even as prisoners are released in our society, in our communities, we continue as a society to hold that grudge, to extend housing restrictions to these folks, to discriminate in job and hiring practices, and to refuse to access them to the health care that they deserve. As one author at least said, it's a system all but designed to ensure recidivism, to make sure that the revolving door continues to exist. Ezekiel today, in our Old Testament lesson, has something to say about this kind of life, this kind of society. It's interesting because most of Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, is a law and order kind of book. Ezekiel is concerned mostly with reminding and telling the people of God that they have committed sins, that they have rejected the ways of God, and that God is here to smite them and to remove them from the face of the earth. And so it's a little strange when here in chapter 33, God turns a bit and says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from their ways and live. Later, not in today's reading, but in the verses just to follow this reading in chapter 33, none of the sins that they have committed, God says, shall be remembered against them. They have done what is lawful and right, and they shall surely live. It seems here, even in the midst of law and order Ezekiel, God cares about resolution. God is interested in restoration. Jesus, for his part, speaks to this kind of idea in conflict resolution, reminding that in those kinds of situations, the most important factors are peaceful and respectful interaction, community that is connected and continues to exist together, and an ongoing relationship, even if those who are unrepentant continue to be a part of who we are. But our refusal to extend compassion has consequences beyond ourselves. As Jesus says, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And even those familiar words of where two or three are gathered tend to have less to do with people of like mind gathering together for something like worship and have more to do with what it means to reach out and welcome all people through our communities, through our nations, and around our world. Truth is, we are often not good to one another. Our selfishness and our greed gets in the way of being able to extend compassion to another. How did we say in our confession today? We keep your gift of salvation to ourselves. Even Ezekiel reminds us that our transgressions and our sins weigh upon us and cries out, how can we live? And it turns out that we are the ones who are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. But Paul reminds us in the words to put on Christ, echoing the words of Jesus just last week when Jesus said, take up that cross and follow me. Shed the old life and be willing to die and be resurrected into what is new in our world. Become, Christ says, as I am to the world, forgiving, reaching, giving, sacrificing, and dying. Sometimes that means standing with those who in our world demand that while, in fact, yes, all lives do matter, sometimes we need to know that many lives historically have not mattered. And even today, there are people who exist in our world knowing that their lives have been subject to harsher scrutiny and stricter punishment. Sometimes that means standing or even kneeling for the sake of solidarity and goodness with one another, or welcoming the stranger and allowing us to learn what it means to walk in other people's shoes for a while. Sometimes it means that as we are the ones released from the prisons of our sins, that we desire wholeness and goodness in our community. Can we extend that goodness to one another? Because after all, like Ezekiel once upon a time, today we have been set up as the sentinels in our world to speak a word of truth, to speak a word of God that comes in Jesus Christ when he says, "I have come to give life, that all may have life and have it abundantly." When you come to this table today and you hear the words, "This is my body, this is my blood," you know that your old life has been killed, that your new life has been raised and forgiven and restored and redeemed into the world. You step out a whole, complete, and good person. But not just for yourself, but as we extend that metaphor to our community, that we are this body, we are this blood that flows and exists in and through our communities to give life, to be the people of God that allow others to know they too belong, that they too are part of that flesh, part of that blood. So that we may unite our world, so that we may welcome one another, and that all may know that God is love. Amen.